Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Ian and Jay joining you tonight. And of course, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. And the features you will find there at freetalklive.com are myriad, and they are free. So check it out. And don't forget, we do have our own social media platform, which is also free for you to use over at social.freetalklive.com. It's a Mastodon system. That means it is open source. It's self-hosted. It's more decentralized than the mega big tech corporate platforms like Twitter or X, as it is called now, and Facebook or Meta or whatever. But ours is free, and it is way more open to you expressing yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. It's digital cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In fact, Dash has been out there for a long time. They're one of the oldest cryptocurrencies around. And they've, over the years, they've cultivated some relationships in the world of commerce, being able to buy and sell things with Dash. And one of those things that we promoted for some time was something called Dash Direct, but unfortunately the company that was behind that decided they were going to get out of the crypto business, likely due to all of the government threats that have been going on against crypto-related companies. But not everybody has left the scene. In fact, what Dash Direct allowed for was the purchase of discounted gift cards for thousands of businesses in the United States. We're talking about brands that you will recognize, that you probably already shop with. But so Dash Direct is gone, but BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years. And they got a ton of big name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon gift cards, and even prepaid MasterCards. You can actually live off your Dash using BitRefill.com. And many of their gift cards also come with a discount, so check them out. Dash is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get, it's easy to use Dash, and it's now even available through the decentralized Maya Protocol Exchange. That's one worth looking into. Start by learning more at Dash.org, and thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's talk to Chuck in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. Sure. I don't mean to be cliche, but I really mean it when I say that, because I wanted to let you know, a couple weeks ago, I called you and I was listening to you on KQP in Newport, Oregon, and I talked to the owner of the previous owner of that station, and I don't know if they're going to be able to, I don't know what's going on with Free Talk Live at KCUP, just because he told me he sold the station, so.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. And, the other thing that I wanted to, talk about too is the, KTOX community that listens to Free Talk Live. I guess they got a freaking hurricane that's getting ready to, tackle the whole area right there, it's like, it looks like it's aiming up to the southern end of the Cascade Mountain Range, going right up to, Oregon.
So my wife's got a good friend that lives in Oregon. She talks to every week to have a conversation. They're very good friends for years. And she was actually at our wedding, here in New Hampshire. But, her friend was saying several days ago or something that, like, it was the hottest they have ever experienced. Like, it was really, really hot. She's not far from Portland or right outside of Portland. And she said it was something, it was residual heat from the Maui fires. It was some kind of weather, thing. It's just, I haven't looked into this other than a phone call, you know, that my wife was telling me about, but there's definitely some crazy weather.
Yeah.
It was hot.
Yeah, I can confirm that, but I guess I'm not really trying to, submit this idea that there's a global warming crisis or anything like that, or climate change. I mean, I think there is climate change, but, you know, that is
caused by the big ball of fire that we rotate around.
Right. And so the whole idea of cycles and everything like that, we got the unfortunate end of a solar cycle that I guess the only time that they had this, and the screener that took my call before the I got on the air here, and I'm
we don't have screeners
that.
Here.
That was you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh. they were talking about the difference between hurricane and cyclones.
No, typhoon. Now, typhoon. Hurricane and typhoon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Twisters, yeah. Quasars, everything like that. Typhoons, I think they spin clockwise, and hurricanes.
According,
I don't know.
According to, I just looked it
what,
up.
What
according
is that?
To the internet. They say if it is above the North Atlantic, Central North Pacific, or Eastern North Pacific oceans, they call it a hurricane. If it hovers over the Northwest Pacific Ocean, so we're talking East Asia, they call it a typhoon. So it just depends on the part of the world that this thing is happening. So apparently Southwest California is still in the hurricane naming territory. But I'm looking here at this radar over at weather.com. By the way, this hurricane's name is Hillary.
Yeah. That's so rich. I
that poor hurricane.
She's going to tear up the West Coast, apparently. But it looks like it's down by west off the western Mexico coast right now, and it may be coming up north. But, I mean, you're talking about KTOX. That's our affiliate in Needles, California, which also has a signal in Arizona. So it's right there at the corner between the two states. I mean, it's pretty inland. Yeah. This thing is not – the people in Needles, I don't think, have anything to worry about besides maybe some slight winds and some rain. This is not going to be any kind of devastation.
We don't know that, and I'm saying that because they don't get these downpours like this until October.
It's the desert, right?
Right, yeah. The dry desert. And I don't – they're predicting 5 inches – there's a gentleman from Scott, or I'm sorry, he's from Fort Mojave. He holds down the fort in Fort Mojave. He calls into the KQX, and he's worried about this because it's 5 inches.
Mm.
Now, up here in Longview, Washington, you know, 5 inches is nothing. But down there in the, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Is that because, I mean, you're not down there. You're in Washington, so you don't really know about living down there, right? Or have you lived down there previously?
Well, I've been to Apache Junction, and so I've got boots on the ground as far as I understand.
Well, what happens when 5 inches of rain falls in a desert climate? I mean, is that something that is going to cause like mass flash flooding or something like that?
I guess that's the most likely scenario that I would be most concerned about.
Jay says he knows a thing about it. Go ahead.
So I was in Northeast Colorado in 2015, and they got a foot of rain in what's called the Poudre Valley Basin.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hardly rain at all where I was, but like 4 miles up the road, this river called there's the Platte River, the South Platte River, and these rivers are like basically like little creeks that you could just, you know, walk through with a set of knee-high muck boots and not even get wet. But when these things flooded, what happened is it took oil tanks, it took propane tanks, it took cattle, it took bales of hay, it took farm equipment, it took horses. And like this, I think it was 15 inches of rain hit this what they call Poudre Valley Basin. It overwhelmed these dams, and you know, just rock slides and just muck and rock and all kinds of debris coming through these, like wiped out all kinds of houses along these creeks because these creeks go from. You know, let's say, they measure these things in acre feet flow or square feet per second, cubic feet per second. Mm-hmm. They go from like a few hundred square feet to like millions and millions of square feet per second, like within, you know, a couple hours or even, you know, less than an hour. It's just, and it's insane. So all this water is like sort of funneled into one area, but all the water just goes to where it's low. On these flat desert areas. Now, Arizona, like where Ernest Hancock is looking to buy property, like where his property is, that he's looking to buy and where his friend Bob lives, like, it's like just super flat, but it's on a little bit of a grade.
Mm-hmm.
But anywhere that you're next to any kind of what they call a wash, so the washes just fill right up. And these washes, like, you know, like, and so like in LA, they have these, you know, big canals that are most of the time they're nothing, but when they get right. a massive rain like this, they'll just flash flood and fill up. So you'll have all kinds of trash and garbage that's in there. People, and there's like a lot of homeless people live in these things. And a lot of times it rains, you know, 100 miles north of LA or 200 miles north of LA, or there's big snow melt, and all of a sudden this wall of water comes down through these things, and a lot of, you know, things can happen if people are in there. But yeah, it can, you got to really pay attention, when something like this happens. So basically everyone in this area where I'm looking at this map, you know, where they got this, you know, showing all this rain's going to happen, that lives next to a wash should be preparing for that wash to like fill up and go over its banks. They should be preparing
for saying something about it.
Roads to be washed out. So like, you should make sure that you have water. You should make sure you have enough fuel for your generator.
You're going to get some water. If you
I'm saying fresh water. Yeah. Like if your power is going out, Because, for example, like, even where, like, you know, like, Bob and Ernie, you know, are kind of, like, you know, living out there west of Phoenix, those guys could possibly, all those washes between, you know, the nearest store, they're just all going to be gone, like, when something like that happens. And the thing is it isn't so much the water. It's what the water's carrying that really does it.
Yeah.
So the water does a lot of damage,
but
so does all the trees and the rocks and the houses and the cars and the bales of hay. Like, and even upstate New York, I watched where there was a big flood up there at my, right around central New York, Middleburg, Cobleskill area. They got 14 inches of rain in 24 hours. And it flooded out all these houses. It actually moved houses. Like, just houses were just lifted right up. Like, some of these houses were only, like they had modern foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation and the whole house just, like, popped right out of the ground. And it just like, moved just like a couple hundred feet.
Damn.
And then this, like, I remember this bridge, there was round bales, you know, like the marshmallow bales you see, like, in fields.
Like hay bales?
Hay bales that were, like, this bridge was, like, 25 feet above, like, where the river usually is. This river is the Schoharie Creek. The bridge was Middleburg, New York, State Route 145 and Route 30 intersect at this bridge. And I can remember seeing round bales on, like on top of the, like, guardrail thing that had, like, a pointed, like, top thing. Like, a round bale is, like, kind of, like, hanging off of it. And, like, the water got up that high to float a bale.
Damn.
That high. That's like, insane. And, like, this whole, like, town was underwater, yeah. Middleburg, New York. Like, the main street had like 12 feet of water in it.
That happened over in Vermont recently with some crazy rains.
So, like, anybody in these washes around this, they need to maybe just, like, leave while they can. Or, like,
just be,
you know,
prepared to
be prepared.
Get out.
Be aware. If you're next to somewhere where water flows and you're in the southwest United States, like, you better, like, pay attention.
So the forecast that K2X is calling for is rain on Friday and then a temperature drop of about 30 degrees.
Wow.
They're expecting 80-degree weather in this place that is accustomed to 110, 120-degree weather. So the writing's on the wall. Thank you so much for
No problem, Chuck. Thanks for calling in tonight. Appreciate it. I was just looking here at the weather.com report on this. It looks to me like if you're in the KTOX region, which again is right on the corner between California and Arizona, it's probably, you know, if you believe this forecast, it's probably not going to be 5 inches like they were saying, or like Chuck was saying. They're saying maybe 1 to 2 inches. But that still may be some trouble for certain people in certain circumstances. And if this is something you aren't going through, you know, I take it just, I guess I just don't take these things as serious because I'm from Florida and it's just like, you know, whatever, a hurricane comes through Florida, we just, you just yawn and, you know, grab some party favors and you throw a hurricane party and you just throw caution to the wind and, you know, you're probably going to be fine. Just make sure you take the lawn furniture up and bring that inside. Or if you get a pool, you throw it in the pool and then it doesn't flip that into your windows or whatever. But then again, you can always have a branch get thrown through a window or something. So if it is like serious winds, then you definitely want to stay away from windows. Of course, you can always board those up in advance. That's another thing that you can do. But it doesn't look like, you know, if you're inland, you're probably not going to be dealing with crazy winds by the time this thing gets to you. If you're on the coast, however, of what looks like Baja California, it looks like it's going to really hit Baja California, or Mexico, which is part of Mexico, down there, and then run into the southwest portion of California. So those people are going to have the worst of it.
Here's the biggest concern would say the, let's say, western Arizona, where I see some of this red bleeding into. So I haven't really actually been to the Arizona-California line.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's what the rest of Arizona looks like that I've been to, you know, so it's, you know, they're not used to, like, dealing with tremendous amounts of rain. If they get 5 inches of rain there, what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of electrical infrastructure is going to be down.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen, you know, 24 hours after the rain, the temperature is going to get back up to that 100-degree range, you know, whatever. It, you know, it's very hot in that area. So
yeah, he said it was going down 30 degrees to 80.
Right, so it's probably going to go back up to 110, as their high. So if you're someone who can't handle, you know, has to have air conditioning, you better make sure you got gas in your generator and your fuel tanks are prepared so when the electricity doesn't work because of the power lines got, you know, compromised because of, you know, the floodwaters and the washes or whatever is going on. That's where I see is the biggest issue is the days after people, like elderly people especially, not having air conditioning. Sick, you know, and even healthy people, it'd be 110 degrees, you can still, if you're not prepared, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
So you got to have drinkable water for sure.
And you're going to have to be able to cool yourself somehow if it's going to get really hot and there's no power.
Yeah, good advice. If you want to weigh in here, maybe you've been in Southern California and possibly Western Arizona, and you've actually been through weather like this before. I suspect that doesn't happen very often. But if you want to weigh in on what happened the last time, that might be actually useful. Feel free to join us here at 603-283-6160. We go to Major Payne calling us from Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I remember one time. I can tell you something about the power of the Western rivers. I was out there one time just after a big storm had come in upriver on the Missouri, and it had uprooted an entire tree, and this tree was huge. It was probably 50 to 70 feet tall. Whole root mass and everything floating right down the middle of the river.
Wow.
Well, it hit this very violent hole, and it just sucked that tree right under the water. That was wild. I mean, if you'd been a flat boat, you know, trying to get down the river,
you'd be done.
It might have done the same thing to you. So, yeah, the power of water is something to definitely be reconciled.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with it, for sure.
Died crossing the washes. If you get a rain 300 miles upriver, you don't know it, and all of a sudden this wall of water hits you.
Yep, that's a great point. Anything else you want to share tonight, Major?
Well, you guys were talking about all the organic cows and whatnot here in Michigan, and I think it might be nationwide. We have a co-op of organic farmers. It's called Organic Valley, and they've been formed a long time, so I think they got the .com on their internet thing if you want to check them out. But basically, you got to be able to prove your soil is organic, right? And that demands a much higher price. But you also have the standing of, you know, 1, 2, 5, 1,000 farmers behind you.
And the thing is, there's no crop subsidies for these organic guys. The only way you get, well, there's no federal crop subsidies. I don't know about, you know, local or whatever, but there's essentially no crop subsidies for the organic farm operations. So this is why, you know, your organic versus inorganic, you know, a lot of stuff is just so radically priced so differently because the organic guy, when he deals with weeds, he's either going to go in there with a weed burner, and then if he's somewhere where it's like dry, like Northeast Colorado or Nebraska, then he's going to go in there with a weed burner, and then he's going to go in there with a fire truck, you know, to support the weed burner so you don't set the whole place on fire. Or you got to do was you got to plow the land, you got to till it a little bit, cultivate it, you know, run some equipment through with some chisels or whatever, you know, for taking out the weeds, say between the corn rows. So doing it like, you know, weeding with a plow, for example, costs like, you know, can cost you $15, $20, $30 an acre, maybe even $40 an acre to get done if you got like hundreds of acres. That adds up quick to where spraying Roundup, you can do it for like $6 an acre, you know, by the time and then you're getting subsidies on top of it. So this is why Canada has a lot of really, really cheap food, but all the cheap food's really bad for you because it's got all been sprayed with Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're trying to make it on an old 50-acre farm or something, and all the mega farmers around you are spraying Roundup and whatnot on their crops, you could fail your own soil test just because of the water weep from their crap.
That's right.
Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Looking here at the weather.com story about this California potential hurricane, they say that even if it hits as a tropical storm, that alone is rare, very rare in this area of the world. They say if Hillary is still categorized as a tropical storm by the time it hits California, that would be the first time that has happened in almost 26 years since the former Hurricane Nora tracked near the Colorado River in California as a tropical storm back in September of 1997. There were only two other times that happened prior to 1950, including a September 1939 tropical storm in the L.A. Basin, an October 2nd, 1858 hurricane, which tracked from San Diego to Long Beach. So, I mean, you're talking about in 100 years, 150 years, there's only been a handful of tropical storms and maybe one hurricane that has hit this area. So, yeah, they're definitely not used to this.
So I wonder what would happen if San Francisco got 5 inches of rain. So you've seen the videos of San Francisco, of just the tent cities, every street is just all these
definitely
streets.
Wash away some of the poop. From
well,
the
so yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of poop and needles and all kinds of trash and you know, being washed into the wherever it goes, some river, then into the ocean there. What's that going to do to to the local fish population? But what's it going to do to all those homeless people? When you know they're used to having sort of like perfect pristine weather all the time there, and my wife lived out in that area for a little while some years ago, and she's like, the weather was perfect year round every day, and
that's why people move there.
That's also why the first reason the drug addicts all move there is because of the welfare, and it's real comfortable to live is the second reason, you know. So but it's going to be interesting.
This
to see
one
what goes
may
on
avoid
there.
San Francisco, according to the the predictions. And of course, those don't always go as predicted. Let's talk to David Hathaway. He's the sheriff, calling us from Arizona's one of the border communities there, Santa Cruz County. Sheriff David Hathaway, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Ian and Jay. You got me thinking about this hurricane stuff. I guess we're right in the path. I'm right on the Mexican border. And when we get storms like this, it kind of depends if they get slowed down by the Baja Peninsula. And mm-hmm. if they go right up the Sea of Cortez, that's kind of that body of water between Mazatlan and Cabo San Lucas. And that comes up pretty close to us, like within, say, 150 miles of where I am, and about 60 miles of the Arizona border. And kind of a weird thing about...
So hold that thought. I want to bring you back in here, and we'll find out what sort of things you guys are doing down there in the border community of Nogales, I believe is the town, to prepare for this. Again, pretty unusual to see this kind of thing happening in the Southwest. We got Sheriff David Hathaway on the line. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want here as well on Free Talk Live.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is hosting a summit with leaders from South Korea and Japan at Camp David Friday. Defense Department spokesman Pat Ryder called the meeting historic.
The deliverables that you'll see coming out of that will take that relationship to a new level.
He said it will help cement greater cooperation between the three countries in the Indo-Pacific amid growing concerns over North Korea and China. The gathering will mark the first time Biden is hosting foreign leaders at the Camp David retreat. A new report claims White White House advisors and aides rarely discuss Hunter Biden's mounting legal troubles with the president. CNN reports Hunter Biden is not a topic of discussion in front of President Biden, even in discussions about his 2024 campaign. A special counsel was recently appointed in Hunter's criminal tax case after the president's son plea agreement with the Justice Department fell apart. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We were talking about the economy and the federal debt tsunami that's coming over the next 3 to 6 months with another couple trillion of spending on deck for the federal government thugs. It's Ian and Jay here in the studio tonight. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy the features we have there. And thank you to our supporters of this program via the Free Talk Live Amps program. These are listeners just like you who really appreciate the work that we're doing here on Free Talk Live. People like Ala Loca, who is a gold-level supporter of our AMPS program, meaning Ala Loca is contributing $10 per month to amps.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right over to our Patreon page where you can get signed up for as little as $5 a month, Ala Loca doubling that. So thank you, Ala Loca. And again, once again, that's amps.freetalklive.com to get signed up, and you can help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. It's a great way to get directly behind the show. We certainly appreciate listeners like Ala Loca at amps.freetalklive.com. We got Sheriff David Hathaway on the line with us here. He is the sheriff of the Santa Cruz County down there in southern Arizona on the border. Now, you're a little bit ways, you know, inland compared to the rest of Arizona, but you say you guys are still getting ready for this thing, this Hurricane Hillary. David, what were you saying there just before we had to go to the break?
Yeah, you know, we're already in our monsoon season. Our monsoon season, our rainy season typically goes late June up till mid-September. So we already get flash flooding this time of year,
okay.
like Jay was mentioning. We have high mountain ranges on two sides of us. We have mountain ranges that have peaks that are over 9,000 feet. And kind of the way the moisture goes through Arizona this time of year, you kind of have these rain shadows and it's based on elevation. So you have moist air coming from Mexico, coming from the Pacific Ocean, and then it hits these mountain ranges, and it kind of goes like a ramp, and it pushes the moist air really high to where it cools off, and then it dumps the rain typically around the mountains. So that's where our dangerous flash floods come, is there will be heavy rains in the mountains, and then there will be canyons and arroyos that come off the mountains, and these flash floods will come out of nowhere, even if there's no rain in the area because it's the watershed is up in the mountains. But, yeah, the river, the one river we have here is Santa Cruz River. It's the same name as this county, and I live right next to it, so that's kind of the one floodplain that we have, and it actually is the rain in Mexico feeds that river. So if we get heavy rains in Mexico, then we can get flooding along that river.
Hmm. So you guys are used to getting some water in there. It's not going to be, you know, probably the end of the world for you if the hurricane kind of comes your way.
Yeah, and I have a search and rescue team that's all volunteers. So under Arizona state law, each sheriff's office has to have a search and rescue team. And I, since I came in, I doubled the number of volunteers because there's a lot of people that want to help the community, and it's no tax burden for the taxpayers. So these guys, they have, some of them retired. A lot of them have full-time jobs, but they'll drop what they're doing. Typically, these emergencies are in the middle of the night, and they'll go look for people up the mountains or people that are maybe caught in a flash flood, and they call in on a cell phone. So we have a very motivated search and rescue group, and they're a real fun group to hang out with. They have little barbecues together and whatnot because, like I say, they're not motivated by a paycheck. They're motivated by public service. So they're doing a lot this time of year anyway, like when we get our little flash floods about every week in different parts of the county. So that's something that we typically respond to this time of year. If it was a month and a half ago, it would have been range fires, like during our dry season, a lot of lightning fires. But that's kind of died down. The rain has settled in, and things are greening up.
Very cool. Actually, we have a call on the line here. David, do you mind taking a call?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put you here, and we'll bring Rob on the line in Vermont. Rob, you're on with Sheriff David Hathaway from Arizona. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sheriff, I've heard you on Free Talk Live many times. I've been listening to this show and participating with this show for about 15 years. And so I recognize the voice and stuff. And the sheriff is probably about the only type of law enforcement that I would trust, but I wanted to ask you, some folks that I know, and including myself, have been through the court system and have been found guilty for crimes that we have not committed, and the people involved were they were protected by qualified immunity. Does that kind of thing happen in your area at all? And what are your feelings about how qualified immunity should work? Thank you.
Thank you, as a matter of fact, I just did an extensive interview this week with some First Amendment auditors that operate here in Arizona. There's a YouTube channel called Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-Y, and he just interviewed me on that subject this week. And there's another a guy I really like named Christopher Ruff, R-U-F-F, that's his YouTube channel, very active here in Arizona, YouTube auditor, goes up and films the police, and he gets some very interesting reactions. So, my feeling is, the police have no special rights above anything else. There shouldn't be anything like qualified immunity. There shouldn't be laws like, you know, hate speech or special privilege. Anybody should have the right to express their feelings on any subject. So, I don't know if you would find that on YouTube, that recent interview I did with a YouTube channel named Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-Y, but okay. We got into that. But, yeah, I don't think there should be anything like qualified immunity, because that just encourages cops to pull out their guns and start blazing away at people. I mentioned a while back to Ian about a guy who was shot 9 times in the back in a wheelchair outside of Walmart in Tucson, making his high-speed 2-mile-an-hour getaway from a cop through the parking lot. And, that guy is off scot-free now. They dropped the case on him once. It was refiled, and they dropped it again. So, no, there shouldn't be any special privilege. That just encourages cops.
Did he keep his job, that cop?
Yeah, he did. He kept his job, and he's still working for Tucson Police Department.
That's amazing. Thank you for answering that question, Sheriff Hathaway. Jay, you got the sheriff on the line here. Do you want to ask him something?
You were talking about the Santa Cruz River. Kind of goes through your area. So I'm just trying to look on Google Maps as you were chatting here. So when I was visiting my mom in Tucson, there's like a Santa Cruz River Park. And
that's the same river.
Okay. All right. So I thought that one like looped like down into Mexico and then came back into the States possibly.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Like we have some ranch land in two counties in Cochise County. That's where the Santa Cruz River starts. But then it goes into Mexico. It loops down into Mexico, comes back up into the U.S., goes through Nogales, and then passes through Tucson on kind of the west side of Tucson and then just kind of dissipates out in the desert there. I think technically on a map, it joins up with the Gila River and then heads towards Yuma, the Colorado River in Yuma, but it usually just kind of dries up out in the desert there in the area of Gila Band and Picacho Peak and those areas.
Yeah. One of the things that we did is we took a bike ride down the, no, not a bike ride. We went with the stroller and the kids down this Santa Cruz Park thing. There's like a real river, and there's like a rail trail that goes through there, and it's like right alongside that river. I mean, that river doesn't have to come up too high, and that bicycle path is underwater. And one thing that there was like there was a lot of homeless people living down there, do people like go and like warn these guys that something's coming? I mean, is that like a thing that's happens down there?
You know, they should. I remember seeing those camps years ago, like when I was going to the University of Arizona in Tucson. They would just, it's kind of a seasonal thing. You know, the climate's pretty mild in Tucson year round. It's not as hot as Phoenix or Yuma because it's higher elevation, but a lot of campsites down there. Typically, they would know that this time of year is kind of our rainy season, and that's when the floods come up. And at least that part of the river is flat, and you can kind of hear the water coming from a long ways. It's not like some of those mountain canyons like Sabino Canyon or some of those things on the north and northeast side of Tucson. We have the Santa Cruz River down here, but we don't have those kind of camps down here along the river in Santa Cruz County. But yeah, that's something they should think about in Tucson is warning those people.
Yeah, because you can see that, and I would hope they would know, because you can see that, like, definitely there's, like, stuff, like, you know, several feet high in the trees that you, like, you can't reach, you know, unless you, you know, got in there with a ladder or something, and you could tell the water was that high.
It doesn't take that much runoff because there's not a lot of vegetation to slow down the water and not a lot of topsoil. Like when I was a kid in the 1970s, I remember we got 11 inches of rain in 1 week, and that Santa Cruz River was hitting the bridges and going over the top of the bridges. Like, just the amount of runoff was unbelievable with that amount of rain in 1 week. So if you get like 5 inches or 4 inches, you definitely will have flooding. And you know how Tucson is laid out, Jay. It's like very flat.
Yep.
And so the streets just get like rivers. There's not a lot of, you know, natural.
There's nowhere for it to go.
Slopes. There's no place for it to go. So the main streets do get flooded.
David, anything else you want to share tonight with our audience?
No, that's it. I'm enjoying the show, and I'm going to do some more research on the internet about the path of this hurricane.
Hey, good luck out there, and thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Rusty from Portland.
Rusty, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Did you hear about the person in charge of Measure 110 in Oregon resigning last month?
Measure 110, is that the drug decrim thing that passed a few years ago?
That's correct.
No, from what did they resign?
Well, they were the person, Angela Carter. She was the person in charge of the implementation of the program.
Mm-hmm.
And she resigned last month, claiming that the Oregon Health Authority was actively trying to sabotage Measure 110.
Whoa. Okay. Tell me more.
Well, she said that the agency leaders tried to manipulate the volunteer council that was the oversight council into making decisions the OHA favored. And they also claim that they were hiding certain data from the public and trying to obscure important information from the council and the public against the advice of the Oregon Department of Justice. And all
And hold on, just to clarify, what would obscuring this information presumably result in? Is this information that would make drug decriminalization look good, or is it information that would make drug decriminalization look like a failure?
I'm not sure. The article said that they claim the agency officials willfully designed the Measure 110 funding, data collection, and communications procedures for failure against the advice of all program staff and external advisory councils.
Okay, so it sounds like they're trying to throw a wrench into the drug decriminalization there to make it look like a failure. That way people will want to undo it. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of like a fall guy, because they didn't even hire this person until 6 months after the law passed, and it was somebody with no government experience whatsoever. It was some naturopathic physician in recovery from addiction, and so I think they were set up for failure from the beginning. Or is this what they're claiming?
We had a really detailed article, I think it was by The Atlantic, on the Oregon drug decriminalization. It was so lengthy, you know, we couldn't possibly get through it on the air. But my recollection from that story was the government side of things, of course, has been botched, as you would expect the government to do. They were supposed to be taking revenue, I think it might have been from the marijuana decrim or marijuana legalization there. They were supposed to be taking revenue from that and then moving that over to drug treatment programs, but it's been absolutely, you know, bureaucratically flummoxed and held up for, you know, what is now, what, 3 years since this thing went into effect? Two and a half years, something like that?
And, yeah, they didn't even start handing out money till the second half of 2022.
Yeah.
And it passed in 2020.
I mean, not that as a liberty-minded person, I think there should be any kind of government treatment or government funding of treatment programs, but that's the way they set this up. It just has not played out at all in the way that it was supposed to be set up to play out. And now what you're saying is the one of the women who was on the side of drug decriminalization has thrown up her hands in frustration and has walked away from the job because the government people are, she says, purposely botching this up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting thing, like, because a lot of the money comes from cannabis tax revenue,
right,
it technically can't be used to fund any drug treatment centers that accept Medicare because marijuana is still illegal on the federal level.
Okay. Yes.
So that throws another wrench into it.
Interesting. Hey, thanks for sharing that. Anything else you want to get out there tonight?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, feel free to keep giving us updates on this. Definitely appreciate the inside scoop on drug decriminalization there in Oregon. One of the most important experiments going on in the United States, and it's one that I want to see become a success, but if the government bureaucrats want to make it look like it's been a failure, then they can certainly have some influence over that. I think that's unfortunate. Now, the way, of course, to do it would have been to just simply decriminalize all drugs and leave it alone and just let the market handle the issues of people that actually need help rather than having some government wealth redistribution program that they've dragged their feet on actually implementing. And so therefore, these people that want to provide the assistance to people, they can say, well, we're trying to help, but we aren't getting funding from the government and they're taking forever, so they just blame the government for their problems rather than just going out and solving the problems by raising the money on their own.
Yeah, that's the private market's the only thing that's going to solve these situations.
Yep.
And another thing that's really good people should look into is ibogaine.
Mm-hmm.
Just internet search ibogaine. It's amazing. It resets the dopamine receptors in your brain. There's a whole bunch of really good stories of people who have been, you know, heroin addicts, alcoholics.
Yeah, but it's illegal in the United States.
It is illegal in the United States because the politicians don't want the drug problem solved.
That's right.
They really don't.
They want people addicted.
Right, because people who are addicted to drugs don't pay attention to politicians.
Mm-hmm. And they just want to get their next fix.
So they'll vote for their next fix. They'll vote for their welfare check. And also, if you're someone who's working and productive and you have a loved one that's a heroin addict or a crackhead, guess what you're not doing? You're not paying attention to politicians either. So it's a major distraction that's working quite well.
Let's get back into Peter St. Ange. He was talking about this debt tsunami, which could be $1.85 trillion in new government debt in the next 6 months, $1 trillion expected in the next 3 months. He said they predicted these numbers, they were much lower on their predictions prior to the debt ceiling being raised, and that brings us to where he was here in his update, which we'll play more of for you here.
15% in June on the year ago.
Talking about federal
$646 billion on the month. That's an annualized $8 trillion, which is almost double what the feds collect. Meanwhile, tax receipts also slumped 9% to just $418 billion.
$8 trillion in federal spending expected over the next year. Remember when it was, you know, what was it, Obama? It was like $4 trillion and it was like crazy. Yep. Now it's double that.
That comes to a $228 billion hole on the month alone, which is roughly $7 billion of fresh debt per day. Put them together, and the budget deficit, which is already up 170% on last year, is set to soar. The problem is, who would buy all that eye-popping debt? I've mentioned recently how Japan's monetary policy and China's slowing economy could turn two of the main buyers of U.S. debt into sellers.
And we know that in the next, I think, week or so, week and a half, the BRICS summit is going to be happening, which, of course, is something like 40% of the world's population is in the BRICS countries. These are some very economically strong and growing economically strong countries. You've got, of course, Brazil, you got Russia, you got India, China, and South Africa. They're going to be talking about admitting new countries into BRICS at this upcoming meeting. And one of the main topics of discussion, at least prior to the summit, has been what are they going to do about releasing their dependence on the dollar? And that's what he's touching on here, is that China may be getting rid of some of its dollars that they have in holdings. And they may be creating their own currency, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Together, today, they hold roughly $2 trillion. Meanwhile, the Fed is rolling off its $5 trillion stack of treasuries, rolling off meaning letting them expire and not buying new ones, to the tune of $30 billion per month, expected to double to $60 billion per month in September. So if the three main buyers of federal debt are now sellers, who's going to buy that $1.85 trillion? Keep in mind, China is also busy bribing countries out of the U.S. dollar, both as part of the BRICS project and with its development banks that lure countries off the greenback. The last man standing is private buyers, which drains money that in theory was supposed to finance the real economy. So businesses, households, homeowners. So what happens next?
I mean, you would have to be a real dupe to go out and buy U.S. government treasuries.
Absolutely.
At this point. But there are some people who are easily duped. They still think the government's going to pay its debts back and that they're trustworthy or whatever.
Well, they actually believe that there's accountability in government and there's regulators that protect the people. Even just like the one of the guys I ran against when I ran for state representative, Tony Kaplan, he's the guy who won.
Mm-hmm, Democrat.
He beat me. He's a Democrat, yeah. And he's like, the Federal Reserve's doing an amazing job. Of course they're not creating money out of thin air. That's ridiculous. Why would you think that? It's all backed by gold. What do you think the purpose of Fort Knox is? I'm like, the guy's just a total... He's got no wisdom. You know, he's been a career parasite,
regurgitating what he's heard over the years. Well, and what I have to wonder is, and Peter St. Ange, he's an economist, right? So I mean, I presume he knows what he's talking about. But I could have sworn my understanding with the Federal Reserve was they are the buyer of last resort. It's not the private citizens.
And they've been buying for decades now.
Right. So why are, you know, I don't know why he doesn't think that they're going to gobble this up. I mean, it just means more debt for them to get interest payments on from the federal government. That's... If the federal government can't sell its treasuries to China, if they can't sell its treasuries, the $1.85 trillion worth of them in the next 6 months, apparently, if they can't sell them to Japan, they can't sell them to China, and they can't sell them to enough of the private citizens, the Federal Reserve is supposed to buy them. As I understand it, that's like the deal, isn't it?
Peter Schiff says they've been doing that right along.
Right.
The Federal Reserve has been doing it.
So I don't know about what he was saying earlier with that. It'd be great to get him on here to explain that.
The Journal quotes one expert worried about what we saw in the UK last year when fears over government debt sent bond yields skyrocketing 140% in 2 months. That crashed UK bond prices, which put banks and even major pension funds at risk of bankruptcy. Meanwhile, the British pound plunged, losing 24% of its value against the dollar in just a couple months and almost hitting dollar parity. That's what you would expect from a third world country, not the United Kingdom. The British government, of course, panicked, ditching a planned tax cut to revive the economy, essentially waving the white flag that perhaps the UK can never again cut taxes now that it has become a slave to its national debt. Keep in mind, the US is in much worse shape than the UK. The UK's national debt just passed 100% of GDP, while the US is bumbling along at 137% and
137% is the percentage of national debt against the GDP.
Yep.
So that means that the gross domestic product of the United States cannot even cover the national debt.
Really sounds like a good reason to have some silver and some gold in your in your pocket. I'm serious. Like, I literally just went and got myself 50 of these, actually 100 of these bits right here, these silver bits from the local silver mint, because I'm actually going to trade it. I'm going to buy some hay and some cattle off a guy on Saturday, and he said, bring some gold backs and bring me some of them little silver pieces you showed me. And he's like, I want some silver, and so I'm going to trade them, you know, I'm going to trade one bit for a bale of hay, which is like a $5 bale of hay for a bit.
That's amazing.
And I'm bringing him actually a whole silver barter bag that's available from jmbullion.com. It is the ultimate survival tool. This is the most important silver you can stack. You would use it to purchase basic essentials like a dozen eggs from your neighbor or a basket of vegetables. 1 ounce of silver is too big. Yes, you'll probably pay a slightly higher premium to buy the 10 pieces of silver in an ounce than one.
But they're more useful.
But they're super useful. They're they're easy to spend. They're easy to make change with, and they're just really valuable. Just like the gold back. And in New Hampshire, these things, these silver bits from local silver mint are trading basically just like the gold backs.
About twice spot, right?
Yeah, about twice spot. Yep.
That's interesting. I hope that works out. I hear some businesses are actually accepting the silver in the area.
Yep, and gold backs,
which is pretty cool. We are out of time for tonight. Check out Peter St. Ange. His Twitter or X account is at Prof. St. Ange. That's ProfStonge. He's got some cool updates, and he does them 7 days a week. The guy is he's a workhorse. We'll see you tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free, 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.